Coming up, I'm going to teach you how to find your hidden talent and then why middle managers in America are starting to lose their confidence. What do you do about it if you're in that role or if you lead them? That's next. Let's go. Welcome to the Ken Colbert Show. This is where we help you grow personally so that you can advance professionally and then lead effectively. That's our aim. You're here because you're not where you want to be. That's the bottom line. Professionally, you want to keep advancing. You want to keep growing. That's the only reason you'd be listening or watching this show. Welcome. We're going to help you do that. And let's talk about some of you who are dealing with doubt. I think today's show, as we lead off, is for someone who's got a little imposter syndrome, maybe a lot. So how do you respond when somebody says, what are you good at? Do you instantly rattle off some things with confidence? Or do you hem and haw because you're not quite sure what to say? Or do you freeze because you have no idea how to answer that question? In my decades of coaching, I've coached over 10,000 people. I found that a very common answer is, I'm not sure what I'm good at. I'm not really good at a whole lot. I've had callers call and start the call and say, Ken, I'm just struggling. I just don't know what I'm good at. In other words, their talent is a myth to them. It's this mystical thing that they can't quite get a hold of and describe. And we're going to bust that into a million pieces today. This belief that you don't have any talent is a lie from the pit of hell, and we're going to treat it that way. Now, a lot of your talent has been hidden because of pain, because of shame, because of doubt. Now, let's just pause. I want you to get that. If you're a person right now that says, I resonate with this answer that you laid out, I'm not even good at recognizing or sharing what I'm good at doing. Understand that's coming from pain. Understand that's coming from shame. Understand that's coming from doubt. Now, that's the source of it. And I want you to think of those three things, pain, shame, and doubt, for the rest of this segment. I want you to just think of those as a blanket that has been concealing your talent. Because everybody is good at something. Everyone is designed to contribute. And today is the day for you to pull the blankets off and start believing that you have something to offer. You have something to offer. How do you figure that out? One, we start with identifying. We got to pull the blankets away, move the blankets, look at what's under there and go, oh, okay, there's some talent there. Two, you now then begin to build a case for them in your own mind. This is obvious, yes. And third, use them confidently. Contribute to the world with your talent. Now, the easiest way to start identifying your talents, what you do well, and then build your confidence is to actually tune in, to remind yourself of how people talk about you, what they say about you. Literally, that's it. It's almost as if we had a little machine right here and we just hit rewind. Maybe we rewind to this morning. Maybe we rewind to yesterday. We rewind 10 years ago. We rewind. And we start remembering. What compliments do people give you? What's a compliment that's more consistent than others? What tasks do they say, we need you to do this, you're better at this than me? When that is happening in your life, people are affirming, they are identifying, they are praising, they are needing, validating your talent. So all this stuff about it being hidden, it's not hidden. It's in front of you all the time. Open your ears, open your eyes, and start to pay attention. Let me give you an example of one of my coworkers. So the writer for this show is Haley. Haley's fabulous young talent, young lady, And she is really talented. She's worked in television and film, and she's a really, really accomplished writer, musician, all these things. She's just talented. So I asked her if I could share her results because I want to walk you through her assessment results, the Get Clear assessment, which is our signature tool to help you get clear so that you can confidently move forward. You can take the assessment on your own if you've never heard about it, or you've heard me talk about it, you haven't taken it and you're struggling today. Go take it. Go to RamseySolutions.com/get clear. RamseySolutions.com/get clear. Now, let's walk through her results. I have them right here in front of me. Okay. Her top three talents, what she does best as she scored on the Get Clear assessment, is imagination, inspection, and communication. And in the assessment, when you get your report, we give you not just a detailed explanation of imagination, inspection, and communication. She gets a list of things that other people might say about her so that when she sees her results, she begins to see evidence of the results, right? So how do we see evidence? And so let's look at imagination. So we have a section in the report under imagination. We do a detailed summary of what imagination is. But then we have a little section that says how you wow others. So Haley's looking at her report, and this is what it says for people who have imagination. Big picture thinking. You wow people with your great ideas. Next is creative problem solving. Next is starting new things. Next is vision casting. Next is seeing things others don't. So these are how she wows people. They're like, whoa. And as a result, they say these type of things. We have a section that says, what others say about you. And these work together. And what I'm doing in this assessment and what I'm doing for you now is I want you to be thinking through this as I list this out for Haley. How do I wow others? What do others say about me? Well, here's what they say about her. You're very creative. You have great ideas. That's really interesting. I never thought of it that way. You're inspiring. Let's look at one of her other talents, inspection. Now, the talent of inspection is, and what I mean by this, I think you all get imagination, but what I mean by inspection is she sees details. She sees what's right, what's wrong. She just kind of takes everything in. And so how she wows others with this talent is curiosity, attention to detail, researching, critical thinking, and great observations. Alex will tell you, I lean on her in a lot of meetings because she is, one, a younger female, and she has her own. Just there's Haley, but then there's who she is because of her age and the way she sees the world. And so I love it. And she gives good observations. Do I agree with her all the time? No. But she does observe. And so she wows me, right? I go, hey, you're good at walking through content. People would say to her, hey, will you review this? Check this out. I've written things. Hey, what do you think about this? You got a good amount of information in your head. Hey, will you help me research this? And good catch, good change in that content. And then if we look at communication, her third top talent, how she wows others, good conversation. It's challenging and thoughtful, good listener. She just knows how to make a point, great at writing. And then what others say about her. Hey, you're good with words. You're a really good writer. Great storyteller. You understand the structure of story. Hey, you made that really clear to me. Good pushback. And hey, I enjoy our back and forth in meetings and you push me and challenge me in a good way. Now, do you see how using those two sections in the assessment you can do for yourself? How do you wow others? What if people always have been like, woo, there's a little bit of woo when they talk about you. What are some of the things they say to you? You see that those are evidence for your talents? And every time you work collaborative on a project, you should be even clearer about your talents because you're going to get that feedback. So the idea, the challenge today is to listen, to take notes of what people are saying about you, to listen and take notes of how they're reacting to you in a woo, impressive way. Those are confidence builders. And we all have to hear you're good about 10,000 times before we start to believe we're good at it. And remember this, because this is true of you, it's true of me. The person we listen to most in our lives is us. So if you're having a hard time believing in yourself, you are too busy listening to your fears, to your doubt, and you're not paying attention to what everybody else is saying for you. So why does this matter? Because when somebody asks you, what are you good at? You need to be able to say, I'm talented here, here, and here. This is not braggadocious. This is not prideful. This is awareness. And awareness leads to clarity, and clarity leads to confidence. You're very talented. Start digging for clues today. Hey, I want you to stop right now and just listen to this. I want you to imagine life 4 months from now, but you're actually making a starting salary of $75,000. Bethel Tech has a front-end web development micro-credential that you can earn in just 15 weeks for only $5,000. Coding skills are in high demand right now, and you learn them in less than 4 months. So whether you want to level up your career and salary, or you've always wanted to be in tech, you can get started on Bethel Tech's front-end web development micro-credential or a data science micro-credential, another hot field. Now's the time. Let's go. The next class starts April 29th, and the Bethel Tech folks offer you 10% off because you're a Ken Coleman Show listener. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman for details. Terms and conditions do apply. All right, where's the squeeze right now in the workplace? According to some new data from Glassdoor, in my hands, it's middle managers. So that is implying, that term middle management, that you are leading leaders and you are being led. So you're in that middle. You've got some people that you're leading and they're leading as well. So you're on that. If we look at the leadership rung, you're in the middle, and organizations, they can die in this level. And it's not middle management's fault, but middle managers tend to get squeezed so much more because they are, in fact, in the middle. I mean, they're in the sandwich. And if executive leaders aren't leading middle managers well, they get squeezed really, really harmfully. I mean, we all need a little squeeze, right? To learn to grow. We need that. And tension is what I'm talking about. And there is what we would call good stress, meaning I'm being challenged. I'm in the fire. So think of a training for a marathon, maybe. And the idea of testing and stressing your body in your training is getting you ready for the ultimate test, and a marathon is absolutely stressing and challenging your body. So, but it gets really unhealthy quickly for middle managers. And the reason is because if they're not being led well from the top, then all that stuff is falling on them, and they are left to try to make some decisions when many times they may not know which way they've got to go. They may not have what they need to have. And so what happens is they are just in survival mode, okay? That's really key to understanding this data, okay? So here we go. Boy, it occurs to me. I'm going to own this with the audience right now because I think we're edging closer and closer to this. Real quick thing I got to just share. Because this is a small thing, Alex, to everybody else, but it's a big thing to me. Here you go. Talk about an unnecessary setup. That, folks, this is what just is happening. I'm going to have to start wearing my reading glasses on the show. And I don't know how I feel about that. I just pulled this up and my eyes just went, uh-oh. And heretofore, Alex, I've not had to deal with this. Because these lights in here, I wish people could see how bright these lights are. I got these gigantic lights. Like, I'm looking at this one right now. Now I can't see anything. I got glitter. It's crazy. I'm not kidding you. I'm going to have to, you know what? I'm going to have to start doing it. I'm going to have to get some cool looking ones and I'm going to have to put them on. You know what? I don't know how I feel about that, but it's a new era, Alex. It's probably going to have to happen. All right, let's see if I can focus here. Boy, I'm having to really pull this aside. Joe, you've been with me a long time, buddy. I guess you knew this was going to happen, and it's really getting me.
Yes, it will.
It has.
And it has.
The day has. I feel like it's arrived. All right, here we go. The data is from a Glassdoor Employee Confidence Index, okay? And it was just published last week. This is fresh. This is like a Krispy Kreme donut with the hot now sign. That's how fresh this study is, okay? And that's important to see. Confidence, here's what they found. Confidence levels have dropped in February from January, and it's the lowest Glassdoor level. So when they've been, and by the way, I'm not giving you the number. It says 45%. It's dropped to 45%, so 100% would be we're very confident, but that's not the issue. The issue is it's continuing to drop, and now they've hit an all-time low. And so where is confidence dropping? The biggest group is middle managers. And the reason is there is a trend right now in corporate America, and I would suggest it's probably in small business America as well, and that is we've got to do more with less. So we're coming out of a business environment where for about 2 years, if you haven't heard the term the Great Resignation, what that meant was is we were seeing over 4 million people a month change jobs. And it was just this big musical chairs. If you remember that game from elementary school, right? We're all going around the chairs and when the music stops, you got, and that was happening. And so as a result of that, now that's not happening in the job market. People aren't just leaving all the time and leveling up and getting 12, 15, 20% hikes in their salary or hourly rate. That was happening for a while. That slowed down. So now companies are going, we're paying more than we've ever paid for. Because folks, listen to this. I don't know what you know about inflation, and I know you hear different things all the time. I want to be a man of the people and break it down for you in a really simple way. Here's what you need to know. Wages, hourly wages and salaries increased dramatically over the last 2 years. You don't feel it as much because so has gas and groceries. So you'll hear, if you watch any of this stuff, inflation and wage earning, it's inflation's going up higher than wages are going up. And so while you're making more, it doesn't feel like you're making more because you're actually netting out, not making more. Right. So I get you're there. All right. Now watch. So now companies, because they had to pay more, their expenses that are at all-time high, and now that the job switching market has cooled, companies are now pulling back and they're going, we lost a bunch of positions here. Instead of filling those, we're going to try to make do. Key point, we'll come back to that. Okay. So what's happening is middle managers are under a lot of pressure. What are some pressures that you are facing? Layoffs. When executives up here, up top, make decisions to lay people off, guess who has to execute on it? Middle managers. That sucks. It's one of the worst things that you have to do as a leader is to fire somebody. I've done it. It sucks. It's awful. The other thing is new mandates on new systems, new policies, as we are in an increasingly litigious society where people are suing and companies are always worried about stuff. We got DEI stuff. You got all kinds of stuff floating around all the time. So there's all this new stuff. And it comes from up top, many times by lawyers who are trying to protect executives. Executives go, all right, here's what we're going to do. And they don't really talk to you, middle managers, about executing on it and what it actually means for you. They just tell you got to do it and you figure it out. That's a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. And we already have reported on this on the show recently, that performance reviews, the annual review is going to go the way of the graveyard. And I think you're going to start seeing more intense one-on-ones and more pressure coming, and managers have to figure that out. And they got to navigate that. That's a real communication issue. Mid-level employees, like middle managers, have seen their confidence levels drop most severely in the past year, falling from 54% in February of 23 to 48% in February of 24, and now the March numbers are 45%. So this is something to pay attention to. And there's a lot of you that are in this boat, and I'm trying to inform you, inspire you, encourage you. So what does this mean if this is happening to you? Well, what it means is you're going to see burnout, because when somebody is squeezed all the time, top, bottom up, top down, bottom up, squeeze, 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 you get to a point where you go, I can't do this anymore. And so what happens is organizationally, they opt out. And guess what? Somebody has to replace them. Sometimes it's not from the outside. So now the squeeze gets tighter and tighter and tighter, more and more pressure. And you can see then how this can really erode a culture of an organization. So middle managers also sometimes at high risk of being laid off themselves because of where they sit. Well, we'll take out the middleman. We need somebody on the ground, so we're going to remove that leadership position, and I'll come down from my ivory tower and my executive tower. And so they're at risk too. So now they're worried about getting cut themselves, the cuts they have to make, enormous pressure. So two things I want to say on this. Number one, if you are not in middle management, and so you are below a middle manager, you probably need to always be ready. Kind of like when we get on an airplane and they go, all right, in case of an emergency, here are your exits. And I tell you all that. You need to go, you know what? If I was going to be pressed to lead, if I had to step in, what would I need to know? What would I need to do? Always be ready. Always be ready. Back in Revolutionary War times, you may remember learning about this in elementary school, but when the British in the Revolutionary War and the British were invading towns, they all throughout New England, they had what they called minutemen. And these men were ready for battle in a minute. That means everything is ready. I highly suggest that. If you are below a middle manager in today's environment, they could be gone before lunch. It's an opportunity for you. Or it may be adversity for you. Be ready either way. And then if you are in middle management, listen, you have got to fight for yourself. Don't let yourself become a victim. What you've got to do is you got to go up top and you got to say, I'm feeling the squeeze here. Don't assume they're just going to get rid of you. But they many times don't know because you're afraid to tell them. You need to advocate for yourself. Or if not, you're going to make things even worse for yourself to where you get to a point where you go, no one can do anything about it. It's too late. I've got to go. I think if you are in middle management, you are the people that are in it, in the storm. You know what's going on. And you have to advocate for yourself. You have to advocate for your team. And understanding the messaging as you take this up, you're advocating for the company. I think the biggest cause of stress from leaders down to middle managers, and then the middle managers pass it on to everybody else, is blind spots. They don't know what they don't know. Don't assume they know. You got to tell them, middle managers. You got to advocate. Those of you who aren't in management, you got to advocate up. Knowledge is good. So don't sit on it and just try to survive. Life's too short to survive at the office. You need to be thriving. And I hope that helps you. But that's the environment we're in. Be aware. Be prepared. This is the Ken Coleman Show. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. So, are you an introvert or are you an extrovert? And I think the world has been unfairly built towards the extroverts. And I'm an extrovert, so I can say that, right? And an extroverted world can be energy sapping for an introvert. And we all have different batteries, if you will, social batteries. And it's okay. There's no right. There's no wrong. But this is important. Your social battery needs to stay at a healthy level or else you get burned out. And you get burned out, that affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and it can really affect you in your professional growth. So it's important that you know what your social battery is and then how to recharge if a lot of the work activities you do drain you. I want you to think about starting therapy with BetterHelp. BetterHelp is flexible to fit into your schedule because it's completely online. It's super easy to get started with just a short questionnaire that then matches you with a licensed therapist. This is my favorite part. They allow you to switch therapists at any time for no extra cost because you got to find your person. So I want you to find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Ken today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/Ken. right, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Hey, if you ever want to get coached up, you can email us, ask@kencoleman.com. I'd love to coach you up. Caitlin has done that, and I'm now ready and excited to talk to her. She's in the Orlando, Florida area. Caitlin, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. I just want to start by saying thank you so much for taking my question.
You bet.
I'm really excited to talk to you.
Well, that makes two of us. I'm excited to talk to you. What are we talking about today?
Okay, so we're talking about switching careers.
Okay.
Right now, the industry that I'm in, it's always just kind of been an ends to a means. Never been passionate, just a paycheck.
Okay.
I picked up your Paycheck to Purpose book.
Thank you.
And I was like, this is me. I love it. Couldn't put it down.
Wow.
I'm turning 35 this month.
Congrats.
I have picked up and put down what I consider to be my passion, which is teaching.
What are you doing now?
I am a legal assistant.
And you've been a legal assistant for how long?
7 years.
Wow. Okay. So yeah. 28 to 35 legal assistant.
Right.
And keep going. I just wanted to get that little piece. Keep going.
Okay. Thanks. So 7 years, 7 years of just, getting by. And so now I'm at a place where I'm approaching 35 and I'm like, hold on, wait a second. Is this getting by going to be the rest of my life? Or do I venture out into the unknown?
Yes.
And, try teaching?
Yes.
And if I feel like, so I feel like it's my passion, but am I in a grass is greener kind of other kind of glasses? Am I switching careers for the right reasons?
Well, let's dive into the reasons why. But I got to tell you, I don't think so, because you've been at this one thing for 7 years. It's not like this is 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
Let's dive in. Give me the top reasons on why you want to teach.
So first of all, I've always loved school. Got my bachelor's. I've always loved school my whole entire life. Number one.
Yeah.
Number two, love kids. Specifically want to do elementary teaching. Mm-hmm. And I've just always had that love and that passion. I'm a very patient person at this job for 7 years. Over the years I've been training people and I do feel like I've been told I'm a good teacher.
Yeah.
Let
me ask you this real quick.
Okay.
Over those 7 years.
Yeah.
What's the part of the gig that you've loved the most?
So I do personal injury. What I love the most or like the most is helping people, specifically clients, communicating with them, just helping them, guiding them, relating to them, getting to know them.
Can I tell you, I'm a little surprised by your answer.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I thought your answer was going to be?
The money.
Nope.
Oh.
Training.
Really?
The way you were talking about it, as you described, that's why I interrupted and said, I was trying to get you locked in on that, but maybe I'm wrong. But you've been told that you're good at teaching through the training role. I just thought you were going to say, oh yeah, I like the training part the most. I was just curious. But I also understand, it's not like it's a wrong answer. You love serving. You're a server. You love serving people.
Right.
That's why you loved helping the client more than the training. But here's my question.
Okay.
Did you get a little extra bounce in your step when you had to train other employees?
Not necessarily.
Interesting. Wow. Okay.
Not necessarily, but I do just try to, give it my all. And I do find that kind of as it unfolds, I relate to them and, find it.
You understand why I'm digging on this?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to give you evidence, or I'm trying to find evidence that you really love teaching, because training is nothing more than teaching.
Right.
I understand teaching little kids is far more enjoyable to you than training fellow employees on work that you're not really jazzed about. So I get that. Don't let that confuse you. That was me just digging for evidence.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
I don't want to throw you off.
Okay.
But let's keep going on your reasons. So your reasons are you've always loved learning. You love kids. Is there any other reason that you want to change?
I just don't.
You got no juice. You got no
I'm
juice.
I'm at this job and I'm unfulfilled. Yes. I get up in the morning. I'm not excited.
Yeah. So those are three really fantastic reasons.
Yeah.
You asked me, I want to make sure, Ken, that my reasons are wrong. No, those reasons are good, healthy reasons. Nothing unhealthy in that at all. Next. What's the next question?
Where do I go from there?
All right. Good question.
Okay. All right.
So what qualifications do we need that we do not have to be able to be an elementary school teacher?
The only thing I'm missing at this point is the certification.
Boom. How long will that take?
My goal is to get it done over the summer so that I can start applying for next school year.
Great. How much will that cost?
I don't know exactly.
Got to get it. Got to know
okay.
it.
Okay.
You see what we're doing here?
Yeah.
Once we're clear, you remember reading Paycheck to Purpose. The seven stages are get clear. You're very clear. We removed what little bit of fuzzy fog that was hitting you by looking at your reasons. Now I think you know, okay, Ken says these are healthy reasons. To the extent that you called my show and you trust me, then I think I removed that fog for a minute just by saying, all right, it's gone. These are good, healthy, heart-level design. This is the way Caitlin's designed. Absolutely, these are great reasons. So we're clear, yes?
Yes.
Great. Now what? Get qualified to stage two. So we now know. Get connected at stage three. Now, before I talk about get connected briefly, you have got to go find out before the day is out, in my opinion. It's not the end of the world if you don't, but I'd like to move on this quickly while it's fresh. Once I know what that certification is going to cost, now I have no more fear of the unknown. Now I know. All right. It's going to take me this long, and it's going to cost me this much. And that means, because that's the answer to what do I have to do? Now, there's one other thing, get connected. And we can be getting connected while we're in this day job. We can get connected while we're still taking the cert. And that's getting connected with other teachers, administrators in your area. How many public schools are out there? What needs do they have? But you start getting connected now. If you've got friends who have kids in the elementary school, call them all and say, hey, will you talk to your principal for me on my behalf and say that I'm going to be qualified by the end of the summer. I'd love to have an introductory interview, whatever it takes. We're connecting, connecting, connecting. Let's get with some teachers. If I don't know any teachers, I know people who know teachers. And you know what? Teachers, they don't make a lot of money, so they'd love to get a free coffee or free lunch, wouldn't they, Caitlin?
Yeah.
You bet. So I'm taking teachers to coffee or lunch. You know why? I know I love learning. I know I love teaching. I know I love kids, but I can tell you this, because Caitlin and I have talked to a lot of elementary school teachers. Some of them are going to try to tell you not to do it. They're going to go, I'm burned out. I'm getting out. It's a 4-alarm dumpster fire. You're probably going to hear that from some teachers. And I would suggest to you, you need to hear that. And I'll tell you why. Because if you can hear that and dive in and go, why? And they tell you, and the reasons are real. And you go, I still want to do it anyway. I still going to put my fire suit on and I'm going to put my helmet on. I'm going to take my oxygen mask in and I'm going to go and I'm going to do my part to extinguish the fire and love and teach and influence kids. That's when you know that you know that you know that you know. You got me?
Yes.
That's what you got to do. You got your marching orders. I'm proud of you, Caitlin. Thanks for calling in on the show. So honored to talk to you. You are an absolute rock star. And this is the Ken Coleman Show.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.